1 Corinthians 15, if you'll go there now. It's an amazing amount of content, but it's well-traveled ground, so I don't have to start from zero. And we already made it up to the first, last week we did the first 20 verses, so we'll start in verse 21. Let's pray. Father, I pray as it's the resurrection, it's what we're talking about. Lord, I get nervous about stuff like this. I really feel like I'm going to Charlie Brown it. Spirit of God, help us to settle our hearts and get this and totally understand what it is that you'd have us to know about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and also our resurrection, the resurrection that awaits us. Move among us, teach us, cause us to get done with stupid, idiotic ideas that aren't worthy of a Christian's mind, and help us to know this word in a real big way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You like the last part, but the first part I've heard people balk at. You know, Adam fell, so what does that got to do with me? Everything. Your federal head fell, and so we've inherited from Adam death and a fallen nature. I think that's the most easily verifiable fact in all of creation. We don't have to spend a long time there. You say, that's not fair. It's fair enough. It's the way it is. And besides, here's the other thing, too. What are you going to drag God into some cosmic courtroom called fair and make him answer you? It's the way he's designed it, but the way he's also designed it, that in Christ shall all be made alive. We died in Adam, we're alive in Christ. So what's the key? The key is to be in Christ. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Easy capeasy. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are in Christ that is coming. I talked to us last week about the feast of first fruits. When Jesus rose from the dead, he became the first fruits of them that slept. Is this important? I think it's vitally important. We talk about the spring feast. Jesus, our Passover lamb, died on Passover. The bread of life was buried on the feast of unleavened bread. The first fruits of them that slept rose again on the feast of first fruits. What a coincidence. What a marvelous coincidence. Then we have a feast out in the middle of summer floating around all by itself called Pentecost. Pentecost happened on Pentecost. The birth of the church happened on the feast that it was predictive of. Now there's three fall feasts, and they have nothing to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ whatsoever. Right? Wrong. And we'll talk about that a little bit. I'm kind of setting the table up for later on. He's the first fruits, every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now, when we talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, listen, the Bible uses language when he comes for his bride and when he comes to establish his kingdom. Those are different comings, if you ask me, and we always try to amalgamate them and kind of like confuse them in our mind. I think those are two different things, and I will show us that later on, okay? Again, we'll table that for now. Then cometh the end. After he comes for church, then the end, okay? Time of Jacob's trouble, he comes in, cleans house, he's a mighty warrior, he takes over the earth. He's not elected, he's just triumphant over it, and he establishes kingdom. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. It's what we pray for all the time. Don't you pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, like it's done in heaven. Don't you pray that? I think a lot of people, they don't believe in the kingdom. We have this group called our millennialists. What do you pray for when you pray for thy kingdom come? Some nebulous gray, I hope, you know, everyone turns to you at some point kind of thing. I'm praying specifically for the time when he comes to earth. And by the way, if you were in our Isaiah study, I think we nailed that down so thoroughly. I don't think there's any confusion whatsoever. Those are available online, I think, right? Nod? More or less? More or less, okay, or will be shortly. You should listen to them. We learn more about the kingdom in the book of Isaiah than even in the book of the Revelation. But story for another time. He's going to put down all rule and authority and all power. He's going to be the number one guy on the entire earth. There's going to be no presidents. There's going to be no, oh, thank God, there's going to be no presidents. or two houses of Congress or the Supremes or anything like that. There's going to be Jesus Christ ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. All enemies? Well, yeah, look, verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Is that going to happen? We'll look at it. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest. I mean, it's obvious that he's accepted, which did put all things under him. The Father is not under the feet of Jesus Christ, and that's the exception, and he's saying so, just in case anyone says, you know, something silly like, no, no, he's going to beat you to the punch, accepting God, of course. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's the end game. God wants to be the ruler of all creation. Is he now? Not so as you'd notice. Is everything happening the way God wants it to happen? Not so as you'd notice. You know, there's a lot of people out there that talk about the sovereignty of God. Listen, I believe in the sovereignty of God too, and I believe in the free will of man. And I don't think that I act like a puppet, like he's pulling some strings, and I sin way too much for that. What do you do with that? Because I know a lot of people like talk about the sovereignty of God, like he's manipulating us all. He has his way in the end, don't get me wrong. I believe in God's sovereignty, and I believe that he created us in his own image. What's that mean? It means we have sovereignty also. He gave us the right, the ability to decide. More on that another time. When he shall be subdued, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? You say, what does that mean? Are our Mormon friends correct? Because they baptize for the dead. One, our Mormon friends are correct about nothing at all. And if they're coming to your door like they did come my door last week, Oh, you wouldn't have been proud of how rude I was. Well, I didn't take a swing at them. I kind of was proud of that. But I don't want them around my neighborhood converting people to their perverted gospel. It doesn't mean, whatever this means, it doesn't mean that. You say, boy, Adam, you're all upset. Yeah, when people spread their filth, yeah. You say, they're not filthy people, not. No, if one moved in next door to you, it wouldn't be like a terrible thing. They don't have like wild, crazy parties. They don't, you know, leave their yard a mess. Not like that, but their doctrine will drag you to hell. That's all there is to it. And I'm not happy about doctrine that drags you to hell. But more of that again on another time. But they do this baptism for the dead, and this is their proof text. So does this prove anything? Look, there's us and there's them in Scripture, all through Scripture, and always be aware of it. When we go through like Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, there's an us and there's a them all through that. And if you realize the personal pronouns are being used, you'll realize that them are the ones that wrath is going to happen to. Us, no wrath. And then you can figure out where the resurrection comes in according to. Easily done. Here, what shall they do? They're not us, they're them. For whatever else is happening, they're not us. They're being baptized for the dead. And I think what's happened here, listen, there's only about 250 different varieties of what this means, and I don't have it. But I will tell you this, they are they and they aren't us. The Corinthians are listening to them. And his point he's making is, listen, if there's no resurrection dead, then why are they... them, those people over there, why are they being baptized for the dead? And his point is, he's using that to say, oh, these people you listen to, well, they believe in the resurrection. How come you don't believe in the resurrection? I think that's the point. And if it's not the point, you got me. And you can turn a lot of pages and read a lot of commentary. And if you come up with something that's like, wow, I think this guy really has it, come and share it with me, because I've turned beaucoup pages on this. But let's keep moving. Why else would they get baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why then they baptized for the dead? And why stand we? Now we're back to we again. When it's not them, now it's we. And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Hey, I figured this out. Dead man walking, Paul says. I die daily. I just showed up. I'm not going to be here a long time. Resurrection's happening. And I am living a crucified life. I pick up my cross daily. I die daily. I'm following Jesus Christ. It's a death march. Well, why would I do that if there's no resurrection? Verse 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Listen, what is that? Isn't that a kind of a non sequitur? Look, he's saying, what's the sense of me dying daily? What's the sense of me picking up my cross and following? You know, he's talking about Ephesus. He fought with beasts, not literal beasts, not that we know about. Was he thrown into the arena at Ephesus? No, but he has this wrestling match like you do. Like I do. We're talking to people, we're sharing with people, beasts, and they persecute us relentlessly only all the time. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're nodding, you say, I know what that's all about. Been there, done that. Paul's been there, done that, and he's saying, what's the sense if there's no resurrection? Here he says, then let us eat and drink, and tomorrow we die. Now, a lot of people don't believe in the resurrection, and that's their motto, and that's their life, and that's what it looks like, party hardy. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Why not? You might as well get all this earth has to offer because tomorrow we're going to be moldering in the grave. What's the sense? The sense is a resurrection. And so you don't want to live like that. And he says, listen, don't be deceived. You've been listening to these people, but you got to understand something. You hang around them, they're going to have a bad influence on you. Not just in their bad theology, but look at this, in their bad manners, lifestyle is the idea. They live bad. People who believe wrong generally live bad also. Can you think wrong and live right? I don't see how. What's the motive? Why would you? And he's saying, you know, don't be deceived about this. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You have a German shepherd, and he gets loose and runs with a pack of wolves. Is he going to domesticate the wolf pack? Or is he going to end up wild? Listen, guys, you need fellowship. You have no idea. Oh, I believe this, and I believe this, and I believe this. Not by yourself, not for long. You weren't designed to do that. I say, oh, I go to church every once in a while. You know, you say, yeah, what are you doing with it? Well, I mean, your salvation. Well, I go to church once in a while. Oh, really? Awesome. You're knocking it out of the ballpark all the time. You go to church once in a while. That's great. Now, by the way, if you're here, praise God. I don't want to criticize you being here. You plowed yourself out, you dug out, and you're at church Sunday morning. That's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. Do you think you've done it all because you showed up at church? And that's what every once in a while I show up at church. What? You're gonna get picked off so easy. I see this all the time. You need to be about the things of God. You need to make Jesus the central focus of your entire life. This world's no friend of grace. I spend time in the Bible every single day. Does that surprise anybody? I'm like 3 or 4 days away from a final exam any given time of the week, right? I'm going to come and I'm going to share and I'm going to pour out my heart and I got to have the goods. I can't just stand up there and tap dance and juggle and, you know, everyone's going to say, oh, you're awesome stuff. I got to share what God's saying in my heart. I have to spend time with God. And for all that, this world is like, it's like swimming with an anchor. This world is no friend of grace whatsoever. And I can't go partying with the guys and play poker all night and do all these things and go to movies that I have no right being at or things like this because they will have a debilitating effect on me. Like they do on you. Why do you think we can get away with that stuff? You hang with them. Now, I don't want you to, oh, I'm done with anyone who's not a Christian. No, please. I'm never saying that. I mean, I live in the world too, and I have friends who don't love Jesus. And that's, I think Jesus wants it that way. Look, Jesus gets invited to a party. Matthew Levi gets saved, right? He's a tax collector. Read here, ultimate sinner. Still, for that matter, but that's just because I did my taxes earlier this week. But look, he's the worst of the worst. So he has a party. Like, what does he invite? All his other tax collector friends. Is there any like ladies of the evening there? Probably. Does he invite all his like band friends who do music? Yeah, I'm sure. Are they all born again? All loving Jesus? No. Does Jesus show up with his disciples? Yes. Why? Because he likes a party, right? No, because he's got an opportunity to minister, and I think it's a wonderful thing. But don't make that your steady diet all the time, hanging with people who are dragging you down, weighting you down. This verse tells us that's a bad idea. Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? Because there's a resurrection coming. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame, says Paul. But some man will say to me, how are the dead raised up, and with what body they come? Hey, brainless. Say, he didn't say that. I mean, he kind of does. Hey, knucklehead. That's not me, that's Paul. I told you before, a fool in the Bible is someone who isn't like, is someone who's morally insufficient, not someone who's mentally insufficient. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's an act of the will. It's not a question of you're unintellectual. Here he's not, I don't think he's saying that. He's saying a different word. He's saying, hey, stupid. Why? Figure it out. And here's the thing, too. I had this question, and it's done different ways, and it usually always comes from a bad place. Nobody's saying, well, how are the dead raised anyway? Nobody's saying that. They're saying, what if, like, let's say, you know, this missionary is going to this, like, tribe, and he gets, like, swept off the boat, and he's, like, attacked by a shark, and the shark eats him, right? And his molecules end up with the shark's molecules, and then somebody catches the shark, and they cut it up into little shark steaks, and they eat it, and then the resurrection happens. What? Stop that. Foolish stuff. Like, have you had that? What happens when, hey, you can't give people like organs. You can't be an organ donor. What happens in the resurrection? You know, you give your son a kidney, but you're a believer and he's not. What happens in the resurrection? You get your kidney back and he just flops over because he's got no kidneys left? You say, that's, nobody's doing that. Why do you think Jehovah's Witnesses don't give blood? They tell you the life's in the blood. We know that. If Red Cross knows that, they say give the gift of life. And by the way, I think it's a wonderful thing to do. I think it's very godly. I'm just telling you, I'm close to 10 gallons right now. I think it's a really good thing to do. And it's even a healthy thing to do. Just an idea. But it's the gift of life. Well, God can't sort all that blood out. You gave your blood to somebody now, what are they going to do? They're going to rise up in the resurrection. They don't believe in Jesus. Stop that. And I'll tell you what, you got to understand something too. We understand something that our forebears didn't understand. It's a thing called DNA. And by the way, your atoms, you got a carbon atom, oxygen atom, they're totally fungible. An oxygen atom is an oxygen atom is an oxygen atom is an oxygen atom. They're totally, you don't have to get the exact, you know, God doesn't have to get you, your forebears died 1,000 years ago. He used to get them, they're all dust now. He used to get them and re-piece them back together. Stop that. All he needs is the DNA. That's the code. That's the key. That's the program. How's he going to do it? God knows the hairs on your head. He can figure it out as far as the science part. Let's leave that to him. But don't play these silly games, please, because this is what he's addressing here. Some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body they come? Thou fool. Figure it out. That which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. Hey, have you seen this? He gives you an example now. Things don't come to life unless you plant them. Is that a bad joke? I almost think it's a bad pun. But think about it like an apple seed. You take an apple seed, right? Is it dead or alive? You put it in the ground, you'll see how alive it is. They found like 3,000-year-old wheat in pyramids. They planted it. It grows. I mean, it's so dry, you could hit it with a hammer and it would fracture. But you put it in the ground and the magic happens. The DNA takes over. The stalk shoots up, the root shoots down. How come they don't reverse that? It's all in the programming. It knows it. And we see this all around us, so we shouldn't have to ask silly questions. Like, how are the dead raised up? That which thou sowest not the body that shall be. So you sow a kernel of wheat and you get a big kernel of wheat. Big wheat boulder. No, it's not the same. It's not, you put a little seed in the ground like an apple. You grow an apple tree with apples on it. It's not just a big seed that comes out. That which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, if chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also, so we get that. We don't have to really spend a lot of time there, right? There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. What do you got? You got terrestrial one. This spacesuit built for this environment here. It's awesome. No, this spacesuit's not. Well, there is some awesomeness to it. It's not as awesome as I'd like it to be. Okay, I should spend more time at the gym and probably less time at the dinner table. But it's awesome in the way God designed it. It's incredible. I mean, just I could go on and on about the human body now. Anybody's human body. What a wonderful thing. But it's terrestrial. We have no idea what the celestial will be like. Well, we have a little idea. Remember Jesus rose from the dead? And he showed off his celestial body. He's able to walk through walls. He never did that before. You know, because you wonder, like, how will, like somebody who's dead and buried, they're in a coffin, in a vault, under 6 feet of dirt. How are they going to rise up and, like, freak out and panic and all, like, ah, because they're in the, no. No, they'd be able to, like, walk right through walls. I don't want to. If I'm buried, I want to just, I want to turn my casket into splinters, and I want to go up through the dirt, and just big dirt explosion. And I want to take time to kick over the gravestone. By the way, don't do that now. You're a thug. But if you take if it's your gravestone, take the time to kick it over. You know what I want to do? I want to take the gravestone with my bare hands and shape it into a cross. Just tear it apart so it's shaped. Because then with the dirt gone, right, and the casket just splinters, when someone comes to put flowers there, they'll figure, this guy must have resurrected. That's my thinking, my brain goes there, okay? But he resurrected. He eats with them. Every time Jesus after the resurrection, he's always eating. I love that about it. That's my kind of savior right there. Does he have to eat? I don't think so. Does he have to, like, watch what he eats? Like, you know, eternal Jenny Craig? I don't think so. But he's able to, like, you remember, he's with them at the Emmaus disciples. He's breaking bread with them, right? Boom, he vanishes out of their midst. He keeps showing up. I always think it's like, you know, it's like this. It's like, you know, they're just hanging out, like, do-do-do-do-do, and then, like, he's just, like, there, and they go, no, you got to stop doing that, man. You're going to give us one of us a heart attack. He's just, like, in, and he's gone. Boom. I even think that's why when he ascended, he just kind of, like, just no, this is for good. I'm not coming back. That, like, they're not expecting me. Because every time he was in and out of their midst, he was just there. He just appeared. He's showing us the celestial body. Right now we have a terrestrial. Did it look like him? I don't think it looked enough like him. Was there differences? I don't know. There was still crucifixion. You gotta say, well, that's another thing. Well, we have, like, if like I lost an arm or I'm missing some teeth and I'm really sensitive about my smile because I got all these teeth missing. Are we gonna have like missing teeth in heaven? I don't think so. I think Jesus wears his wounds like a crown. In Revelation 4, we see the lamb as though he had been slain. I think that's his call. I think if you're not happy with, like, you're losing your hair or you figure like you weigh too much, remember the lady with puffy ankles we talked about last week. I don't think you're going to have, like, eternally puffy ankles. I just don't think that's how it plays out. Just a thought. You can't prove it, but I will tell you this. We have celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. So one star differs from another star in glory. That's an amazing thing. He wrote that 2,000 years ago before they had spectrometry, before, you know, astrology. They didn't have telescopes. Think about it. And he knew that one star differed from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. We're sown in corruption. You have a corruptible body. Now, if you're 55 like me, you know it. I ain't not 18 anymore. It's a corruptible body. I'm wearing contacts. My eyesight's going. My teeth are going. My strength's going. My memory's shot. It's a corruptible body. But it's going to be raised in incorruption. Hallelujah. Looking forward to that day. Say, you really think you'll be able to bust out of your casket through the dirt and tear up your... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The incorruptible... I'm sure going to try. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown in a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Awesome. Awesome. What an incredible program he's got for us. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So he's just only spiritual. He's not really physical. No, he's physical. Remember, he said to his disciples, handle me. Does the spirit have flesh and bone? By the way, not flesh and blood. I guess his blood was all dripped out on the ground there. And that resurrected body didn't have blood. Flesh and bone. It's a different system. It's not a blood drive system, apparently. So in Adam, we have this flesh. We have a material body. But in Christ, he gives life to our spirit. And by the way, I want you to understand something too. You don't have a body. I mean, I say this right. You don't have a soul. You are a soul who has a body. Figure it out. Your soul that has a body. Because it's funny to me, like, you know, if you're like a psychologist, psych, soul, psychologist, doctor, soul doctor, they're not even sure you have a soul. Funny. You know, you are a soul. And you have a body. And it's a corruptible one. Look at the comparison again. It's the sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power. All those three things are, the resurrection one's better. It's sown in natural bodies, raised a spiritual body, better. Is a natural body is a spiritual body. First Adam, we get our natural body. Last Adam, we get our eternal body. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Natural happens first. Hey, it happens that way when you're born. You're born physical, right? Then you're born again, right? That's just the way it always works. And you have a physical body first, then you'll have a resurrected body afterwards. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. We were like Adam. We're going to be like Jesus. And what does that mean, by the way? I think we're going to be 33-ish, plus or minus. I mean, figure it out. If you're like 107, you want to be like 107 eternally? I kind of don't. I don't even want to be 55 eternally, just if you're thinking about it. What about if you're like crib death? What a sad thing. You'd be like this eternal 1-year-old, 2-month-old. I don't think so. We're gonna see him. We're gonna be like him. We're gonna see him as he is. Let's keep moving. We still got a whole lot of ground to cover. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah! What a good program. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption put an incorruption. This wouldn't be comfortable in heaven. Just think about. Think about what you call a rapture, I call a resurrection. When we're hurtling up through the ionosphere in this body, you wouldn't like it. One, you're going to get a nosebleed, right? It's crazy cold. Two, no oxygen. That new body, piece of cake. Vertigo, unheard of. Not even a problem. Not even an issue. This, we got to put on incorruption. We got to put on immortality to become an immortal, to go to the place of immortals. This body will not live in heaven eternally. And by the way, it also means flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom. You don't pass it on. You don't leave like eternal life to your kids and your will. It doesn't work that way either. Just an idea. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I'm going to show you a mystery. We started last week talking about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 2 weeks ago. I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's a good verse for our nursery department, right? We shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Just an idea. Sleep, a euphemism for death among the Christians. Why? Because we're getting up again. We're not all going to sleep. I don't think I will. I give you that, like, what happens if I'm in the tomb kind of thing. I don't believe it's going to happen. I never did. I always thought I was going to be the one who was still alive. We're not all going to sleep, but listen to this. You and me and all those who are dead, we're all going to be changed. What does that look like? Well, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Oh, my goodness, the last trump. By the way, don't be so Revelations 7 trumpets, chapter 10, I think. Don't. Maybe chapter 9. Don't put it there. If we're thinking about the last trump from a Judeo-Christian, Jewish point of view, the last trump has to do with the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? Concurrent with Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, Yom Teruah is literally the Feast of Soundings, okay? And by the way, it's literally the feast that no one knows the day or the hour. You say, how's that? Because it's in a new moon, and you have to see the new moon from the Temple Mount, and then when there's like, when it's a new moon and there's three stars appear, then you blow the trumpet and starts Rosh Hashanah. It starts the Feast of Trumpets. And if there's like it's overcast or something like that, it devolves to the next day. So you literally don't know it the day of the hour. When Jesus says, you know, talking about his second coming and you don't know the day of the hour, if I were gambling on one of the feasts, like the first three feasts were fulfilled by Jesus in his first coming, I would guess that the Feast of Trumpets would be what's being talked about here. You say your date setting. Well, I don't even know what year, so I can't really be setting a date. And I've always maintained that. Could it be wrong? Yeah. Yeah. Just an idea. I've got it off a lot of people who know a lot more about this than I do, okay? It's not original with me. There are other people who believe that too. I would like to be resurrected on the Feast of Trumpets. Or tomorrow's good too. You know, I've cleared my schedule. Any day is good for resurrection as far as I'm concerned, okay? But I think that's what it means. Every time, I will tell you this, the day after the Feast of Trumpets, I always like, oh. Just, that's me, but let's keep moving. We're not all going to sleep. Well, we all are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. Look what we got, dead people rising. Don't call that resurrection. And we shall be changed. It's like resurrection without the death part. Because there's going to be a generation of believers who are still alive and remain. Listen, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians real quick, okay? Can't spend a long time there. We're going to finish up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hey, I don't want you ignorant, verse 13, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, dead, right, in Christ, asleep. I don't want you to sorrow, even as others which have no hope. Dead outside of Christ is a hopeless place. I hope that never happened to anyone you know. Has it? Yeah, my life too. Welcome to life. It's sad. I don't know what to say. I hope that never happens, but if we believe, now we're back to we again, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, believers, right? God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Hey, making his stuff up, Paul's saying. This is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, like I say, week from Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah this year, or next year, or tomorrow, right? We who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. We're not going to precede those which are asleep, the dead in Christ, asleep, right? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, Adam, that sounds exactly like the 1 Corinthians 15 passage you just read. I know. In the mouth of two or three witnesses may every word be established. That's why I hate saying rapture, rapture. Do you see rapture there? If you're reading Latin, you'll see the word rapture. I do not read Latin. I do read English. kind of, and it looks to me like resurrection. We have the dead people rising, and then we who don't ever have to die, we're rising with them as well. After them, they go first. That's what the end of verse 15 tells us. Then we which are alive and remain, verse 17, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, if he means in the clouds in the air, how else would he say it but that? And of course, you'd have to have a resurrected body because you don't like flying outside of an airplane. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a wonderful program. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In our study in Isaiah, we covered this, but I want to cover it from this end. That's when this is going to come to pass. When that happens, death is swallowed up in victory. Remember, it's the last enemy from verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. When's that going to happen? It's going to happen at the resurrection. Well, how does that work? Think about it. Everyone's so, like, afraid of death. Not me. Not you, hopefully. Because Jesus said so. Don't be afraid of those who can only kill the body. That's all they got. After that, they can't do anything to you. I figured this out a long time ago. I really did. When I was a kid, listen, I just showed up. I'm not going to be here long. You're going to kill me? That all you got? Really? Don't threaten me with a good time. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I am not afraid of death. Now, the manner of death I'm not too fussy about. Like if you get like burned up in a fire, like that poor Jordanian pilot, that was horrible. That was unconscionable. And I'm not. All things being equal, I don't want to die in a fire. But death, like death, dying, like being on the other side of it, however painful it happened, once you're done, it's done. Now what do you got? I'm going home to be with Jesus. Now what are you going to do to me? That all you got? Really? Seriously? Punk. Say, Adam, punk, what kind of language is that? Bible language, look at it. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You know what this is? This is Paul's trash talk. He's saying, not really, not really. Death, that's all you got? You punk, you got nothing. You got resurrection. Now what are you going to do? Satan's big weapon is death. That's all he's got. That's his ace. Death, ha-ha. Resurrection, ha-ha. Death, that all you got? Grave, is that the worst you can do? Because you got nothing. You got this. You know what this is? This, you know what that when somebody's like on the 1 yard line and they crash into the end zone and then they smash the ball into the ground. They do that crazy dance. This is that. No, I'm serious. I don't. Death, nothing but a thing. Punk, I'm resurrected. Now what are you gonna do? What do you got now? Come on, bring it. You got nothing. See what's going on here? Isn't it? Listen. You're on the right team. This is so incredible. I'm going to be preaching here in a moment. I don't want that to happen. Death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And by the way, you law keepers, go ahead. God bless you. You can't, but try hard. Sure. What's the law? The way we die. It says so here. And by the way, a lot of other places, okay? I'm not saying the law is bad. I never say that. You just can't keep it. One, you're sinful. Two, I mean, there's a lot of variables here that we just, listen, there's no temple, right? You got to go to the temple, right, on Yom Kippur, get the high priest and take a goat's blood and put on the mercy seat. Good luck. How was your last year's Yom Kippur celebration? Not so good. There's things you can't do. And then the other part of this all is, we're talking about you, right? Maybe you think you're amazing. People don't amaze me. Listen, I don't amaze me. I'm a sinner. You know, that hurt your feelings. Oh, my pastor's a sinner. Wake up and smell the coffee. If you've been here like 5 minutes, you probably already figured that out, right? I'm like you, struggling. We don't keep the sin. And by the way, we don't keep the law, but and if we did it, the result is death anyway. I mean, breaking it. Strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through keeping all the commandments. No, 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 no. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you understand? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain in Christ shall meet them in the air. So shall we be with the Lord. So shall we be with the Lord. The key is in Christ. You get it, right? What about those outside of Christ? That's, my heart bleeds. So I was down in Waterville driving down Kennedy Memorial Drive, and it was like, I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, but I saw the car, and it had one of them coexist, you know, with all the different symbols and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Go wear that and drive in front of the ISIL guy, you know, with the coexist, and then tell me how that went. Because I'm agreeable. I'm not cutting off anyone's head. Can't we all get along? Yes, I am that guy. And they had another sticker that said, in case of rapture, can I have your car? That's really funny. That's really, yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, you have everything. I mean, let's not give you my bank account numbers. Sure, I have it all. But listen, you got like 7 years to figure it out. Jesus is coming back, and he is going to be wicked upset with all those who aren't on his team. The dead in Christ rise first. To be in Christ is everything. To be outside of Christ, why would people, it makes my brain hurt. Why are people outside of Christ ever, even a little bit, at any time ever? Look, you're on the right team. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're on the right team. What does that mean? Look, it means this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because you're on the right team. Listen, I know they talk to you like you're a rube. I know, you don't believe in creation, do you? Because we know that there was a big bang and then everything just happened. And now you mix in, you know, 3.5 billion years, and here we are. You really know that, huh? Are you a human being? Yeah. Was your dad? Yeah. Was his dad? Yeah. Well, when did a non-human give birth to a human? Just a question. Just a question. I'm the rube, huh? Okay. Listen, I'm right. Oh, I'm not right about everything. I don't even joke about that. I'm right about this. I'm on the right team. Oh, you'll see. You'll see. Look, there's another group. There's a them over there, right? Allahu Akbar. Does anyone know what that means, by the way? They say it means God is great. It does not. It means God is greater. They just game on. I saw one of these, you know, where they all had the signs and stuff like that. Jesus is a slave to Allah. Oh, you're so wrong. Oh, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. We're on the right team. We can stand firm in the faith. We're right. How many guys, when you work and stuff like that, you're blessed to speak the name Jesus Christ. You're thinking like, oh, they're going to cloud up and rain on me. And we don't want to invite persecution. I know. I don't lead with that. Hi, my name's Adam. I belong to Jesus. You know, it's kind of creepy, and two, no way, they'll figure it out anyway. Everyone gossip and everything else. They'll figure it out. We're on the right team. We don't have to apologize. The sex, drug, and rock and roll people, the let's party, tomorrow we're going to die people, they're so wrong. They're so wrong. No, it's all about Jesus. It's all about being found in Christ. Listen, sooner than you can possibly figure out, sooner than you can imagine, we're going to be standing before Jesus Christ. And the only thing that matters is our relationship to him and what we've done for him. It's a judgment, but it's a judgment of our works. Wood, hay, stubble, precious stones, gold, silver, that's your call. That's your call. And only the things that we've done for Christ matter. And at that point, all the silly things that we, if we could just see from heaven's perspective, all the silly things that we're involved in now, all the time wasters and the distractions and the, I can even tell you over the last 3 weeks what the distraction was nationally. They don't want us thinking about stuff that matters, so they always put a Bruce Jenner. You got to pray for that guy. I'm serious. Or Brian Williams. You got to pray for that guy. There's always a distraction. Don't bite on the distraction. Keep the goal in front of you. Jesus Christ and his kingdom coming soon to a world near you. I'm on board. It's going to happen. It's going to be the real deal. It so is. And that's the only thing that really matters. 100 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to matter. I know. We're interested in this and this and this and this. It's all lesser things. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep focused. Stay. All right. Listen, I did the unthinkable. I got done a few minutes early, but that's okay. We'll stand, we'll sing.